The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Monday, March the 25th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. Today in 1634, English colonists sent by Lord Baltimore, they arrived in present-day Maryland. Today in 1894, Jacob S. Coxey, he began leading an army of unemployed from Massillon, Ohio to Washington, D.C. They were demanding help from the federal government. Today in 1911, 146 people, mostly young female immigrants, were killed when a fire broke out at the Triangle Shirtwaist Company in New York. Today in 1915, U.S. Navy lost its first commissioned submarine, USS F-4. It sank off Hawaii, claimed the lives of all 21 crew members. Today in 1954, RCA announced that it had begun producing color television sets. I remember that well. Took a while to come to the town that I lived in, Yakima, Washington, where I grew up. But it finally got there, color television. It was a miracle, we thought. Today, 1960, Ray Charles recorded Georgia on My Mind. Georgia, you know the song. Today in 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led 25,000 people to the Alabama state capitol in Montgomery. That was after a five-day march from Selma to protest the denial of voting rights to blacks. Today in 1987, the Supreme Court in Johnson v. Transportation Agency ruled 6-3 that an employer could promote a woman over an arguably more qualified man to help get women into higher-ranking jobs. And today in 1996, an 81-day standoff by the anti-government Freeman had begun on a ranch near Jordan, Montana. That's a few things that happened today in history. Well, an appeals court just a few moments ago, just before we came on the air live at 9 a.m. this morning, an appeals court agreed a few minutes ago to reduce Trump's civil fraud case bond while he appeals the ruling. As you know, they were demanding that he come up with $754 million in cash or a bond, and that's $500 million, and nobody does that. I mean, nobody does that. And so he's been working on it. It's been in the news a lot. But this morning, just a few minutes ago, they announced that they have reduced that amount, the court. And they will allow him to come up with a $175 million bond within 10 days. Well, that's no problem. $175 million, anybody can do it. Yeah, of course. Anyway, I'm sure he'll come up with that. That's putting aside the $454 million bond to cover the judgment that was issued by this Judge Arthur Engoron and his group of people. So that'll be in the news today. It'll be spun a dozen different ways by the secular media. But that's what really happened. They just changed the amount. It's interesting how approximately $150 million seems like a small amount when you've been thinking about $500 million, doesn't it? Remember when Donald Trump was talking about here just recently at one of his rallies, he was talking about the fact that China was making electric cars like crazy. They're subsidizing it. They're going to be dumping them. They're making them in Mexico. They're going to be dumping them into the United States. That was the plan. And to undercut our automobile industry here in the U.S. Trump called them out at one of his rallies just last week, a few days ago. And he was talking about it, and he said, if this is allowed to happen, he said, if I am elected president, it will not happen, because he said, I'll put 100% tariff on every car China brings into the United States to protect our own auto industry, which should be done. But he said, if I am not elected, he said, Joe Biden will allow this to happen. And he said, there will be a bloodbath for the auto industry. That's a quote, a bloodbath for the auto industry. Well, the news ran with that. I mentioned it on the day that that happened. News people from the little TV stations out in, you know, in the middle of nowhere to New York and Los Angeles and Miami and so on, Chicago, were all saying, President Trump is predicting a bloodbath in America. They did not explain the context of that. Everybody in the country, from the far furthest left little ideologue to the right, knew what he said. They knew he didn't say there was going to be a bloodbath in America. He said there's going to be a bloodbath, meaning financial bloodbath, in the auto industry if China is allowed to do this. Well, Rasmussen took a poll after that statement and asked people what they thought about the statement. 60% of people of all different affiliations, political affiliations, 60% of Republicans, Democrats, independents, whatever, 60% say they now view the media as an enemy of the people. That's a quote, enemy of the people. That's how 60% of American voters, regardless of their party affiliation, that's how they see the media today. I've been seeing it that way for quite some time, and I think many of you have as well. 60% of likely voters say they see the media, the news media, as, quote, truly the enemy of the people. That's a sad state for America that was founded on the principles of freedom, biblical principles of freedom. And now here we are with newspapers becoming propaganda. This is what happens in Russia and China. China has the Globe or the Globalist or whatever they call their newspaper. Russia has several newspapers and they toe the line. They say what they're supposed to say. They say it the way they're supposed to say it, when they're supposed to say it. And we find today our leftist media is doing, they're hearkening to the call of the far left administration that's running the country or supposed to be running the country at this time. That's how pathetic this situation is. It can be remedied. We vote. I know the votes are compromised. I believe that. But I believe there's still ways that we could use our electoral system to elect people that should be in office. This is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard of. I've never read of anything that approaches where we are today in America. I don't say that fatalistically. I believe God will bless us and help us. And if we'll turn to God and ask God for his help, and if we will align ourselves with God's truth, God's principles, God's values, God will bless us. He blessed the founding fathers, and he will bless us. Until such time that Jesus returns, everything changes then. But at this time, God honors borders, nations, national sovereignty, and language, and so on. God set it up that way. God will bless us and help us. I don't believe he's turned his back on America, but I do believe that we are trying our best to remove ourselves from God and anything that has to do with God. Pope Francis is facing a lot of dissent today among members of the Catholic Church. It's not the non-Catholics, it's the Catholics that are getting a little upset with their leader, their Pope. They're upset about recent decisions that opponents portray as contrary to traditional church doctrine. I would say so. I'm not a Catholic, and I don't talk a lot about the Catholic Church, but I do follow what they say. They have, what, 1.2 billion Catholics? That's what they claim to have. They probably do in the world. But the most controversial has been the publication of a document in December, and I saw the document. I thought, man, the Vatican bishop, with the Pope's approval, was mooting the possibility of blessing couples in irregular situations. These are the words from that. And same-sex couples. Well, the document stressed it did not change the church's stance on homosexuality. It brought a joint letter from Catholic clergy and scholars calling on others to disregard it. So what they were saying, I mean, I'm just a humble guy from, you know, from the Orchard Country in Washington State. But I will tell you, I looked at that and I thought, so what the Catholic Church is telling the world and their all of their constituents is that we're not going to change our beliefs. We're going to keep that intact, but just disregard it. That is so typical of wayward people. They claim to believe certain things, and yet they disregard it and go on their way so they can have it both ways. Our president is a shining example of that. He talks about what a devout Catholic he is, and yet he takes a position as president, the most powerful office, president of the United States, the most powerful office in the world. And he takes a position against the very things that he says he upholds through his devoutness to his church. And he doesn't. Well, the church itself did that just this last December, and I was amazed by it, and I remember it well. I don't know if I talked about it on the program or not. If I did, it wasn't at any great length. But previously, in his 11-year tenure as head of the church, the pontiff raised eyebrows by suggesting that even atheists could go to heaven, and saying that he did not judge homosexuals, as well as taking a softer stance on abortion and remarriage. So while his views have been changing, the Catholic Church is saying, well, we don't want to mess with, you know, the written things that we believe. So we still believe all this, but we just disregard it. That's the condition of most of the world today, unfortunately. They claim to believe certain things, but they just disregard it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him. Male and female created he them. That's pretty basic. It's pretty easy to understand. So the God who created the universe also created humanity. Or some have opted to believe that we crawled out of a slime pit, and over millions and millions and billions of years, we became the human beings that we are. The complexities of the way we were created are explained away by just random evolution. That's hard to take. I don't know of anybody, if they really give that some serious thought, would believe it. But a lot of people say they do. They disregard the obvious truth. They see the glory of God in creation. They see God in the human anatomy. I mean, it's unbelievable, our bodies. But they just disregard it. That's where we are today in America. I want to talk to you a little bit about God, about God creating man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. I understand that. I think most anyone who would read it does. It's a matter of whether we believe it or say we believe it and then disregard it. And in America, we still claim that we are one nation under God, but we are, while we may be affirming that we are one nation under God, we are living as though we are not, particularly where human sexuality is involved. And human sexuality is very important to the human race because that's how we sustain ourselves. We produce kids who become adults. That's the way God planned it. California parents say a Christian group is trying to indoctrinate their children during lunchtime. They're lured, those are the words of the press, they're lured to pray and talk about Jesus Christ by being offered free pizza. So Jesus and pizza are raising quite a dust up in this California school district. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Three parents, have complained about the attempt to lure and indoctrinate their children with Jesus by using pizza during the lunch hour. And they describe this group as almost cult-like. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, but I want to take a moment just to say thank you for your support of this ministry. We need it. We are fully funded by the people who listen to this program and believe that it's making an impact. And if you are wondering, it is, believe me, from the response we get from people, some negative, mostly positive, we're making an impact. People are listening. They're reconsidering some of the things that they have thought they believed before. It's making a difference. I say that in complete humiliation, in humility. I am not trying to in any way promote myself or anything like that, but I'm saying that God is using what we're doing, and we are making an impact in people's lives, and I say that humbly. But thank you for your support. Without it, I wouldn't be here. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. We need your support. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. The Fresno Bee, Fresno, California. It says three parents with children attending Rayburn Intermediate and Clovis East High Schools said their children were offered free pizza to go to the lecture hall in groups of 3 to 5 during their lunch period. Upon arrival, parents said a representative from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Those are the bad guys in this story. They meet with the students. After praying and hearing about Christianity, parents said students then receive their free pizza in yellow boxes. I feel that they're doing wrong, one parent with a student at Clovis East told the Fresno Bee. They're basically luring kids that are under 18 that are still trying to find themselves and are still trying to explore. And they're trying to lure them into that, end of quote. And they're trying to lure them into Christianity. Wow. Local newspaper casts Fellowship of Christian Athletes as nearly cult-like. They're not. I have a long relationship with that organization. I know a lot about them. During the years I did a daily television show, I interviewed a number of athletes who were Christians. Jim Zorin, remember him, the Seahawks? He was on my TV show often. And a lot of these guys, in fact, most of them that are Christians, are involved in this FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And what they do is share their testimony, how Jesus Christ has changed their lives. And they share the gospel with these kids. So yeah, that's what they're doing. Cult-like? I don't think so. Some of the most outstanding and most visible personalities in America are Christians today, and they're great athletes. And they put God first. We saw that in the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, the guys that lost said, Jesus Christ is the most important thing in my life. The guys that won said, Jesus Christ is the most important thing in my life. I mean, that's what they live for, is the Lord. Football is what they do, or basketball, or baseball, or whatever it is. I don't speak for FCA, but man, I've had contact with those guys for years. They're anything but a cult, I'll tell you for sure. FCA, in fact, publicly makes these statements. One, the organization asks students to conform to affirm and embrace its sexual purity statement. They have a statement that they all sign. They say, I will keep myself pure sexually until I'm married. The appropriate place, one other statement that they make, the appropriate place for sexual expression is in the context of a marriage relationship, according to the Bible. Another statement they have in their beliefs, the biblical description of marriage is one man and one woman and a lifelong commitment. Oh my. We don't want our children in school learning that or embracing that, do we? The FCA's desire is to encourage individuals to trust in Jesus and turn away from any impure lifestyle. I mean, that's where these guys are coming from. And they share the gospel. So now three people in this student, I understand all about separation of church and state. I also understand that it's a farce. Thomas Jefferson didn't mean what we have made it to mean, and neither did the other founding fathers. They were 100% committed to the idea that you cannot separate God from our form of government and survive in America. We are exceptional. We are different. And they said that over and over. There are volumes of notes and actual statements that they made during the founding days of this country where they were recognizing publicly the place of God in our culture. But today, oh no. Jesus and pizza, we can't have that at high school. No, we're not going to have that during the lunch hour. I want to talk to you a little bit today about luring kids under 18 who are trying to find themselves. Millions of children across the United States are being systematically indoctrinated by the public schools into this regressive ideology that everyone has a gender identity. The indoctrination starts in the earliest school years, like kindergarten. It starts in this school at Clovis in California as well. Trust me, it does. The indoctrination starts in the earliest school years. It's happening in red and blue states as well, but much more so in blue states than red states. Big city, small town schools, children are inundated. That's why we talk about it on this program so often, by gender identity ideology from all sides, over and over and over again, as though gender identity were real and as though it was more important than the material reality of biological sex. I mean, I grew up in a world, and so did most of you, where when you see a little baby in the baby bath, you know if it's a girl or a boy. I mean, it wasn't a long discussion and years of waiting. How we have gotten to a point like this is beyond me. It's a rejecting God is what got us to this place. You should know, we should know, whether a little child is a boy or a girl. I mean, it's easy to figure that out. You don't have to spend the night thinking about it, analyzing it. There's an organization that I do not endorse, but I do want to quote some of the research they've done, Women's Declaration International. They're highly funded. They have access to a lot of money, apparently, and they're not Christian, and they're not necessarily conservative, but they really have taken on this issue of gender identity. And again, I'm not endorsing them, so please don't even go there in your thoughts, because I don't. But I did look at a lot of the information. They're more highly funded than a lot of our Christian and conservative organizations, even like Heritage Foundation and some of those that are highly funded. These guys, I don't know where they get all their money from, but they have an agenda that I don't agree with, except on this issue, they're saying that this is killing the schools and the children by the schools promoting this gender identity farce. And so they've come up with a lot of information is just pure research from the facts that are happening. And I don't agree with most of their positions. They're kind of a globalist. They're secular. They're not a Christian organization. They don't hold a biblical worldview as far as I can see. They don't. They're secularists, but they've done this, a lot of research, and they've been highly funded to do it. And so some of that I'm quoting from you, and as you know, I identify the sources of everything when I'm talking about it and writing about it on our website. But this Women's Declaration International says, the Biden administration has issued executive orders and memos that punish schools if they resist pushing a gender identity ideology on children, teachers, and other staff. For example, the Department of Education threatens to withdraw funding from schools if they refuse to interpret sex to include gender identity. The Department of Agriculture threatens to withdraw funding from school lunch programs. Some states have also enacted legislation that enshrines gender identity into law at the state level. Parents should be, end of quote, parents should be deeply concerned about this. We do not need to be concerned about Jesus Christ and pizza in a world in which we live today, where we're headed toward hell in a handbasket. Founding Father Noah Webster, also the father of what we know as public education, he repeatedly said and wrote, "I know that was a long time ago and we're a different America now," the liberals like to say often. But he wrote often as he created what we know as public education today as a founding father. He said, "Biblical principles and truth must be the foundation of real education." This is an actual quote from Noah Webster, who started public education as a founding father. He said, "God's word contained in the Bible has furnished all necessary rules to direct our conduct." He also said, and this is an exact quote, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure, underline secure, the rights and privileges of a free people." That was where our founders were coming from. They were securing the rights and privileges of a free people, securing those rights who came from whom? From where? From God. A king? They were tired of the king telling them how free they could be and how free they couldn't be. So they separated themselves from England, from the king. And they said, "No, government doesn't give you rights. God gives you rights. And we're creating a government to secure those rights and protect those rights." That was the idea when America was founded. And oh, how we blossomed and were blessed and prospered, becoming the most free, the most prosperous, the most powerful, the most generous nation in the history of the world. America has thrived because the most blessed, prosperous, generous, exceptional nation in the world's history embraced the God who created all things. I'm not overstating the Marxist efforts to dismantle our culture and our country. I talk about it from time to time on this program, as you know. But if someone wants to worry about what kids are being lured into in public schools today, look at the materials that I included in an article that I wrote today on our Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.us website. It's all there. You can see it. The public schools and parents do not need to be worried about their kids and Jesus Christ and pizza from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They need to get real and find out what's really going on in public education where their children are concerned. So much more to say, but thank you for being with me today. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.